Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, October 20th, 2020, and it's the 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in Bill's story on page 12, and we're going to unpack two paragraphs today. It's going to be paragraph 2 and 3, and it begins with "My friend suggested" and ends with "I stood in the sunlight at last." Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Dana P., the 12 Traditions, Laura R. Reading the text today in support is Leslie M., Kara L., France N., and Robin P. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting is 15574. 15,574, and that would be for October 19th, 2020. And then this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, Big Book Study meeting, share ID number is 15579, 15,579, and that would be for October 20th, 2020, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contribution, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Dana P. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you for your service and welcome, fellows. My name is Dana P., compulsive overeater. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you so much, Dana P. I will now ask Laura R. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. This is Laura R., grateful recovered compulsive overeater. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group I never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Less problems with money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Laura. I appreciate that. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and quiet recording, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And I want to ask that you take note that this would be the star 1 key function only for muting purposes here on this line, and that you not sit in queue waiting for your time to come, because that has technological interference with the recorded line. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter Bill's Story. We're on page 12. We're going to read and focus our comments today on paragraph 2 and 3. And it begins with, "My friend suggested," and ends with, "I stood in the sunlight at last." And I would like to ask Leslie M. to read those two paragraphs today and open us up by commenting therein, and then we'll open it up for the rest of the fellowship. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you so much for your service. I am Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. My friend suggested what then seemed a novel idea. He said, "Why don't you choose your own conception of God?" That statement hit me hard. It melted the icy intellectual mountain in whose shadow I had lived and shivered many years. I stood in the sunlight at last. I know for me, this was something that I took on right away. But for me, and for me alone, I've been around in OA for 30 years this year. I picked higher powers, you know, from all different places. And I really believe that I limited them. Like, I thought I knew what I was doing, you know, and I found that, you know, I'm as powerless over my thinking as I am over the food. So this last time through the steps, what I did was I just trusted the process. I trusted that my sponsor and the other people that I heard on A Vision for You were, and this book, are telling me the truth. And that if I have a problem with it, then I need to take a look at my thinking, not at what's being said here. But the other thing was, is that I didn't have to name it this time. I did find that when I got to steps 11 and 12, that I do have a conception of a power greater than myself that really works for me. And for me, it's love and acceptance. You know, but the one thing that I really like about this program is that we can all use the same word if we choose to. We can all say higher power. We can all say God and mean different things. It can mean exactly what we need it to mean. And I know that that is the personal process that's happened for me. And I like to hear what it said. It melted the icy intellectual mountain in whose shadow I had lived and shivered many years. And that's exactly what it was. My thinking was what kept me in that shadow of that mountain. It was just my thinking. you know. And as I said, when I finally came to the realization that I, you know, my thinking was distorted, it was the disease. When I was as powerless over my thinking as I was over the food, that was when my final surrender came, and it enabled me to go through the steps with my eyes wide open and be able to see the things that had kept me in bondage all these years. Most of them thoughts, you know, thoughts, my own thoughts. You know, I had experiences, I made conclusions, and, you know, I just hung on to them forever. And this process allowed me to take a look at those things, and, you know, some of my fixed ideas are gone, you know, and gratefully. And I do have a power greater than myself that has restored me to sanity and keeps me in food neutrality, and the mental obsession has been removed, and that's the greatest gift that I've ever received. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie M. It's time now to open it up for additional comments on that paragraph, which we're on page 12, paragraph 2 and 3 today. If you give me your name, the first initial of your last name, and your state, if you'd like to, so folks can look you up if they want to comment or speak with you later, that would be really good. Although we do value everyone's experience, strength, and hope here, we do ask, though, that if you've shared within the last 3 days, that you hold off and let somebody else come up and share this morning. So if you had shared on, Friday or Monday, consider tomorrow being your first day back or being able to share, please. That would be awesome. So I'd like to take your first name, the first initial of the last name.
Donna B.
Donna B.
Ronnie B. in Missouri.
Ronnie B.
Terry W.
Terry W.
Claire B. Vancouver.
Claire B. from Vancouver. Let's go with this line up here then for today in interest of time. Dana B., Ronnie B. from Missouri, Terry W., and Claire B. from Vancouver. Ann B., is that what we got? Sneaking right in there. Okay, great. Thanks. And you from New Hampshire? Got it. Okay. So, Donna B., you want to start with your 3 minutes?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Donna B., spelled D-A-N-A, but pronounced Donna, calling from Denver. And I was encouraged by a friend of mine to share this morning, specifically a text message that I had written the other day. I wrote, this morning in prayer and meditation, I realize that I don't want my higher power to be all-knowing and all-powerful. When I think of a higher power who is all-knowing and all-powerful, I spiral into questions of why did you let this happen? Why don't you fix this? And on and on. I feel safer with a higher power who is loving, caring, supportive, and encouraging. And like me, she's doing the best she can. She cannot fix everything I want fixed, but she can always hug me, love me, comfort me, and reassure me. I like knowing she is Mother Earth and in the creation of Earth. I think she is sad, and I'm okay with her needing to be comforted too. It makes her more approachable.
Donna, I'm assuming that you passed. I think we may have lost Donna. Donna, did we lose you?
I'm here. I'm here. Sorry, my phone started doing strange things. I've always struggled with having a concept of a higher power, and I've always shared that in the absence of a concept of a higher power, I've had the experience of a higher power, in that every morning I wake up and ask God to keep me sober and abstinence. And when I go to bed at night, I thank God for keeping me sober and abstinent. And that's an experience of my higher power working in my life. And I've been praying and listening and meditating and asking God on a daily basis to reveal, sounds like it's a herself to me. And I'm really grateful for the opportunity that this program affords to be me, to be honest, to be transparent, to be able to say, you know what, I don't have a concept of God. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Donna B. from Colorado. Ronnie B. from Missouri, you're next, and then Terry W. will follow you.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Ronnie, compulsive overeater. You know, what I love about vision is that once I get through the steps, the focus is on 10, 11, and 12. And often my sponsor will say, where are you at with those? And if I'm not in a great place, not that things don't happen, they do happen. But the solution is simple. The solution is spiritual. And that's what I read this morning in one of my readings is, you know, seek that higher power, be open. And, you know, last Saturday, my youngest brother passed. And we knew he was very ill, but we didn't expect him to pass quite that soon. And so, naturally, there's a lot of grief. And what this program has taught me, among my others as well, is to feel the grief and express it when it comes up. Don't shove it down with food, you know, or be in denial, but to express it. And if I didn't have a higher power, I'm pretty sure I'd be eating right now. I'm pretty sure. In fact, I actually made a call to my sponsor, and I don't do this. This is what was missing all the years I couldn't stay abstinent, is I was not making the call before I ate. I was not. I was going to eat. And even this time around, I thought to myself, well, surely, this is a reason to lose my abstinence. This is a reason, and it's okay if I end up losing my sponsor, but it wasn't okay with me. I knew that. And so then the anger came. It's like, so I'm not going to eat, and I can't lose my sponsor, and I don't want to give up my abstinence. So you have to sit and feel it. And I can only do that if I'm surrounded with my higher power, and sometimes it's God with skin, right? But I need that daily conscious contact, and then throughout, not just the morning, but throughout the day. So I just want to say, there's no excuse, there's no reason for me to pick up at all. If I do that, it's a conscious decision to lose what I have. And if I do that, I need to just know that. I need to know I can't go out and have just that one big thing of horrible food for me and think I can come back the next day. Anyway, for today, I'm not thinking of doing that, and for that, I'm grateful. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ronnie B. from Missouri. Terry W., you're up for your 3 minutes now, and then Claire B. from Vancouver will follow you.
Hi, this is Terry W. from Mass. And this was an amazing aha moment for me when I was going through this, when it says, why don't you choose your own conception of God? I've been away 30 years, and I've always had a higher power, but never really tried to define it or look at my higher power. And what I was told to do is go back to my childhood and say, what is my conception of God, and what is my mother's conception of God, what is my other relatives', you know, description of God. And what it came down to was I've always had a loving God, but my mother used to drop us off at church every Sunday and go, I don't believe in God, but here you go. And then my grandmother used to be very religious, so I had a lot of conflicting belief systems when I was young. And I had to rip off all the prejudices that everyone told me about God and what is my conception. And I found that really interesting, because I find a lot of us are often influenced by our families and we have their conception of God rather than our own. So that was an amazing aha moment for me. And, you know, I do have a loving, caring God. And just because my mother doesn't believe doesn't mean that I can't believe. So I just found that really interesting. And it's like a real aha moment for me to bring that back and, you know, take the prejudice about what everybody else said and to know what I know in my heart. So I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That would be Terry W. from Massachusetts. Now it's going to be Claire B. from Vancouver, and then Ann B. will follow you. She's from New Hampshire, but I wanted to say just real quick, Claire, here, that within 6 minutes, you're going to open up the lines for additional comments on paragraph 2 and 3, page 12, in Bill's story of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. So you might want to get ready for that in 6 minutes. So, Claire, if you go with your three now, thanks so much.
Hi, Claire B., compulsive overeater from Vancouver, abstinent for 75-ish days with a weighed and measured meal plan. Why don't you choose your own conception of God? It melted the icy intellectual mountain whose shadow I had lived, are the statements that really hit me. 175 days ago, I was in that shadow and I was clinging to that mountain as that sunlight came in and was trying to break me free from that. And it took me another 100 days to find a degree of willingness. I had to choose a higher power that had absolutely nothing to do with religion. And in fact, it's kind of funny because it was this little nightlight that is an alpaca. I'm a big knitter. It's all the knitters out there. You know what I mean about that alpaca yarn? And that was all I needed to get out of my head and to just try. And that willingness was enough to get me into that metaphorical sunlight. And now I have a relationship with a higher power that isn't necessarily that nightlight, but it's something greater than me. And I'm so grateful to this program and to everybody who continues to reach out. I've received so many calls since joining this meeting, and I wish I could call you all back. As mother of a toddler, it's pretty tricky. But keep it coming. I love hearing your voices, and I really appreciate getting to share this morning. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Claire B. from Vancouver. Ann B., you're next from New Hampshire, and then we're going to open up the line.
This is Ann B. I was in New Hampshire. I'm now back in Westchester County, New York.
Okay.
Compulsive overeater. I don't like the word recovered, but I have been abstinent for 16 years. I had my anniversary last week. So this business of a God of my own understanding, that's, for me, fraught with people-pleasing. Because I tend to be a very uncertain person. I tend to wonder, what name should I call God? And what is God really like? And, you know, and what do I really believe? You know, I'm very uncertain. And I'm constantly confronted with people who are very certain. They know exactly what God is, and if I don't agree with them, I'm going to the bad place. And they're very sure about that. And to me, part of this process is I am, in terms of my belief and in terms of my understanding, I am exactly where God wants me to be right now. Even if, and just because those people are more sure than I am about their beliefs, which are different from mine, doesn't mean they're right. Their certainty about their belief and their desire to cause other people to share their belief is part of their disease, you know, and my uncertainty is part of my disease. But it just because they feel certain doesn't mean they really know anything more than I don't know. And that's one thing I learned in program is that everybody is just another bozo on the bus. I am no better and no worse than anybody else. And they don't know more about God than I do. And where I am is where I'm supposed to be with respect to my belief. And God is okay with that. And yeah, sometimes I use different names. Sometimes I use names out of Hinduism or Islam, or, you know, and sometimes I think this is just a neurological phenomenon and not an external God at all, that it's a meditation technique. But that's all fine. And other times I think God is nature, you know, and it doesn't matter that I'm wavering around and I'm not sure. And because people pleasing is, you know, that's one of those early character defects that in inventorying myself I've become aware of, you know. People pleasing with respect to the food, you know, I made it for you.
Time.
Or people pleasing. So, okay, I'll finish up. And so then, you know, I can't people please with respect to God either. It's my conception. So I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Ann B. from New York. The lines are now open for additional comments. Page 12 of the big book, Bill's Story, paragraph 2 and 3. If you're interested in commenting on that, if you give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and perhaps your state, I'll take some new people down today.
Barbara W., Washington State.
Barbara W., Washington State.
Linnea B., Minnesota.
Robin.
Linnea. Linnea, where were you? Linnea, where did you say you were from? I did hear Robin also. She's from Mexico.
Mary Ellen T., Oregon.
Mary Ellen T., like Tom, did you say? From Oregon. Great, thanks.
Lydia T.
Lydia T. Let's go with that lineup of five, unless there's somebody else that wanted to sneak in. Okay, we got five. We have five. Barbara W. from Washington, Linnea B., Robin P. from Mexico, Mary Ellen T. from Oregon, and Lydia T. So good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, everybody. This is Barbara W. from Olympia, Washington, capital. I love the part about I see the intellectual mountain. I grew up in a family. My maternal grandfather had pulled himself up from a farm family into going to medical school. And it got passed down that education was it. Now my mother made sure I got to church every Sunday. It wasn't pounded into me, but she made sure that it was something I got, you know, I got into the youth group and the choir and all that. But there was never, what I can remember, ever a connection with a higher power, a source of strength, anything like that. It was the church was my source of strength. But I don't even think we said grace at meals. So it was a given that I went to college, and I did. And I was always told that this was the answer, sort of the answer to my space in life. And but what I realized, the older I got, my disease really didn't kick into gear until my late 20s. So here I was with a college degree and with two little boys at home, and all, not all I had the church, but it was still not a connection with a source of strength and power. Here I was with no mother. My mother had passed. We were away from all family on my husband's side. And here I was, young mother, and I had absolutely no source of strength other than other mothers that had small children. And it wasn't until I got into my, 50s, maybe, and I'm 74 now, where I finally started to look at, boy, I need something more than this, because here I was divorced, and I was teaching, but it was still, Barbara was on her own. She had to pay the bills. She had to, you know, the kids were growing up, and she had to make sure that they were taken care of.
Time?
And once they, yes, and time. And so, therefore, it took my time. It took my perseverance to finally come to terms with the big book was telling me, look for a source you can draw from within. With that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Barbara. Let's see, Barbara W. from Washington State. Excellent. Linnea B., you're up now, and then Robin P. from Mexico will follow you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Linnea B. from Minnesota. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. That is an amazing way to be able to introduce myself. Thank God for A Vision for You, these 12 steps in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. These two short, or this little short reading, is like the gateway to heaven for me. When I came into 12-step programs, I was absolutely desperate. And this was life and death for me. I really thought, well, my death certificate will say, heart attack or stroke, but everyone will know, including me, although I would be dead, that it was compulsive overeating. And so, I had two kids that died, one a year apart from each other, and I had to really come to. I had to really try to identify who is this higher power that I must have and yet who I cannot understand. And so this idea that I could, a God of my understanding, that I could have a relationship with this higher power, that I could grow to trust. And there's just nothing more healing, especially in the face of the icy intellectualism. Then to be able to trust and turn to a higher power when I'm standing in front of the refrigerator going, well, I should eat this, and having an argument with myself and a moral judgment with myself, morally judging myself for a weakling, just ad infinitum, and to not be doing that today. It's really a miracle, and so to me. And so this idea that I could, create, have a God of my understanding, is just amazing. And how did Eddie think to say that? Because those guys from the Oxford groups, I don't think they were telling him that. How did Eddie think to say that? And so I really am one more time convinced that our 12 steps are a divinely inspired way of life. And I'm very, very, very grateful for them. And I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Linnea B. from Minnesota. Next up is Robin P. from Mexico, and then Mary Ellen T. will follow from Oregon.
Thanks so much, Mel. Thank you, everybody. God bless everybody. I'm so glad to be on this meeting. I'm Robin P. I'm a very, very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Tulum, Mexico, currently. And I love this, why don't you choose your own conception of God? And I stood in the sunlight at last. I came in a devout atheist, and I was raised that way, And also I was raised in so much child abuse that it always looked like if there was a God and there was a Satan, it always looked like Satan won. The scariest, most angriest, most violent person won. And it really was, it took just a miracle from God and this program to lead me to a power greater than myself. I had one of the profound variety, a spiritual awakening with a voice that led me to God. And I actually became a Christian, and that's nothing to do with this program, but it is that this program was my bridge to God. And without this program, I never would have had a bridge to God. And exactly what was said here by Abby, choose your own conception of God, because I saw God on the walls when I first came in and thought, oh my gosh, these people have substituted one crutch for another. Oh great, I'm desperate. And they're talking about God. And somebody said, well, good orderly direction, any positive force that's more powerful than the God that you're already worshiping, which is food. Because food was the only thing I went to when I was in pain, when I was joyful, when I was anything, when I was having a feeling. Oh, no, got a feeling, got to go numb it. And so this is my miracle, is that the true God, my recovery and this program and the God of my understanding and all of my fellow angels on the way, we all get to have this wonderful recovery without the consequences. You know, I don't wake up hungover from working my steps. I grow spiritually. I feel better. I have more joy and enthusiasm and more vitality, not less. You know, instead of self-medicating, I meditate, and I feel better. I get a wonderful result from having a relationship with my higher power and with all of you. And I get to keep growing spiritually, you know, trudging the road of happy destiny together. And I'm eternally grateful for this program. I'm a happy, joyous, and free person today because of all of you and God. Thanks so much. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Robin P. from Mexico. Mary Ellen T. from Oregon, you're up next for your 3 minutes. And then Lydia T. will follow you, and we will have time probably for two additional shares after that if you want to get ready. 6 minutes, those spots will open. Hi there, Mary Ellen.
Good morning. My name is Mary Ellen T., and I live in Corvallis, Oregon, and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And I don't really share on the lines very often, but I felt really compelled to this morning because I feel like this has got to be one of my most favorite paragraphs in these first 164 pages, because it really has changed my life. And I think if Abby hadn't have walked into that room and that sentence spilled out of him in just that way, using just those words, oh, why don't you choose your own conception of God? Well, that was the game changer for me, because that's exactly what I needed to undo the past of growing up in the Southern Bible Belt. And, you know, my value was all based on if I was a good Christian and what church I went to. And I already knew I was going to hell for all the activities I had engaged myself in. And I found it really hard that to agree and find that alignment within myself with that God that I heard all around me. And so when I came into these rooms and learned that I get to choose my own conception, it completely opened up the world for me. And that's exactly what I did. I said, okay, well, my higher power is the sunlight, just like it says in that sentence. I stood in the sunlight at last. So then higher power became the mountains and became the creeks and became other ideas that I heard you people share in these rooms, and, you know, higher form of self. And my higher power has grown and grown for me. And, you know, I just am so grateful for this, because if Abby had said, well, you have to believe in this kind of God, I don't know that this 12-step program would have existed, not to the extent in which it has seen so many people recovered from all sorts of addictions and diseases. And I just, you know, and the biggest piece for me as well has been about being willing, willing to change and to listen to what you all have to say, and willing to grow in alignment with my conception of a higher power. Thanks for letting me share. Take care.
Thank you so much. Mary Ellen T. from Oregon. Lydia T., you're next for 3 minutes.
Hi, this is Lydia T., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Marquette, Michigan. Thank you, everybody, on this meeting for your service. And I'm just so grateful that it's here for me to tune into twice daily. This paragraph means a lot to me. Why don't you choose your own conception of God? I didn't think that God was available to me. God was for other people, not for me. I don't know if it was the way I was raised because I didn't have religion. I don't know what caused me to believe that, but that was a belief that I held until I came into this program. I mean, I knew there was a God. I knew there was something out there. I knew that God existed, but I didn't know that God was interested in me or my life. I thought God was only for others. And when I finally realized that God was there for me, and it was it melted the icy intellectual mountain, because it was all intellect. I wanted to do this program intellectually. Oh, it will be a good idea. This is great. Blah, blah, blah. It will help me so much. But it was so much more than that. And being able to stand in the sunlight, I can stand in the sunlight any time of the day or night. All I have to do is choose to stay in that sunlight. You know, the blocks were removed when I got rid of the food. And now God is there, you know, and I don't even know what I need, what I call him. I mean, my higher power, whatever, the great, you know, the universe, I don't know. It's just the power that's greater than me. And that power is concerned with me, is concerned with my food, is concerned about all things that have to do with me. And it's personal. And that's what made it important, choosing my own conception. And that made it personal to me, whereas my whole life I only believed it was for other people. And once that happened and God, you know, came into my life, everything changed and continues to get better and better. You know, it's funny, when I was in charge, you know, I had all these ideas of how I thought things should be and go, but my, things are way better with this higher power, this, you know, power greater than myself, thank you, than myself being in charge. Things are better than I would have ever planned. So that's all I have to share today. Thank you so much again. I pass.
Thank you, Lydia T. from Marquette, Michigan. This time allows for two more people to comment on paragraph 2 and 3, page 12 of the big book. If you're interested, I'll take your name, the first initial, your last name, and your state. Hi, Patty T.
Shandles S.
Shandles. Okay, let's go, Patty T. Thank you so much. Patty T., I have you, and then Shandles S. Go ahead, Patty.
Okay, thanks, Melanie. Hello, everybody. I'm Patty T., recovering in Southern California. And, you know, I just love these two little paragraphs because, I found my own concept of God long before I came into this program. The religion I was born into was one that I saw not practiced, okay? You hear practice what you preach, but I didn't see that practiced at all in my youth. And I heard a lot of believe this or that will happen to you. And so faith never came into it. I didn't learn faith until I embraced another great world religion that is actually based on atheism, because it's based on people living in the world, right? And learning how to live in hope and faith. And but when I came into OA, I realized very early on that I had been blocked by both aspects of the religion I was born into and the one that I had chosen due to my ego, due to my, you know, all the things that derive from ego. You know, the fear, the anger, the self-will, the self-seeking, the people-pleasing, all of it. And I learned then that I could and should open up to a relationship with this higher power that I had embraced. I needed this God of mine to become a living God for me. And you know what? That has happened for me through this program. I look at, you know, my tenure in a chosen religion as a footstep to learning how to use these 12 steps in finding and developing a relationship with the God of my understanding. And I still have fear. I still have self-will. I still have all these character defects. But I see them clearly today. I can turn them over to this God of my understanding. I can tell somebody else, and I can be honest to the greatest degree that I've ever been in my life. And that's freedom for me. And I so appreciate this meeting and the fellows and the shares I've heard today. Thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. So let's see, we have Shandell S., please. Let's see, that'll take us right to the end, but there are three.
Okay, hi, Shandell S., recovered compulsive overeater from New York. Very grateful for this meeting and all of you. So my conception of God has, I've always believed in a God, but over the years it's changed my relationship. I used to always feel that, so I heard this on the meeting yesterday too, that if I did this, this, and this, and I'm really trying to be a good person, then X, Y, and Z should follow. Like, I should, you know, I'm not asking for millions of dollars. I'm not asking for things like that. I just want to have, you know, healthy children and things like that. And when it didn't, I was like this roller coaster ride, back and forth, up and down, into the food, out of the food, and doing the 1, 2, 3 steps over and over again, but not really getting there, and just not really turning my life over. And it was a very painful journey, very, very painful, because not only did I have the pain of like feeling hopeless in my life, but I had this pain of being a slave to the food and a slave to my emotions, and a slave to how I felt that I was entitled, what kind of life I felt I was entitled to have. I'm not saying that today, I'm not always happy, joyous, and free, but I definitely am a lot of the time, much more feeling on even keel, feeling the happiness, and also being able to feel my feelings, if they're pain, sadness, feeling overwhelmed, when before I used to run from it. But it's like a daily reprieve, like we say. Like, I have to, like, keep on reaching out to God and getting the strength to, I just, like, please help me let it go. Help me just do your will. What would you have me be? And help me just be kind, patient, loving, and tolerant to all that I meet, including especially my family, because I have kids with special needs. So it's a journey, and I feel I'm grateful that I could live this journey and not run from it. And it is challenging sometimes, because sometimes I feel like I wish I didn't have to deal with certain things, because they could be 24/7. But then I have to do the 10, 11, like live in 10, 11, and 12, and just keep turning it around. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I have a way of living, that I could live life the way that I'm supposed to and to its fullest, and be available to others as best as I can as a human being. So thank you so much for all your shares, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Shandell S. from New York. And then with that last share, that will wrap up the sharing portion, and we're going towards ending the recorded portion of this particular meeting today. We're glad that you were here and were able to join us. I'd like to thank everybody that was in service to make this particular meeting possible each and every day of the week, each and every month. It is a powerful, powerful thing to be able to share the directions in the Big Book for Recovery. I'd like to ask now if Kara L. would please read and take us out with a closing on page 164 of the Big Book, and then we'll follow that with the Serenity Prayer as we transition over to the next part of the meeting. So listen for Fran's end. That'll be coming up soon. Hi, Kara.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.